passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Baseball America podcast. JJ Cooper and Hudson Belinsky joining you from Chicago, where we have just wrapped up a rainy, heat-filled,
muggy,
sweat-filled day at the Under Armour All-American game at Wrigley Field. It really is kind of wraps up really 3 days of covering the Under Armour All-Americans. We had a kind of just hanging out in a short light workout on Thursday. A much more in-depth scout-focused workout on Friday, and then today we had again a very in-depth workout before the game. We had BP, we had in and out, we had a home run derby, and then it wraps up with the Under Armour game, which unfortunately did end two innings early because of
it was like a normal high school game.
Yeah,
it was a 7-inning game.
There was a little bit of a monsoon at the end there.
It was coming down out there.
Lightning, a lot of rain. Wes Helms is 2-0 as your manager for National, I believe it is. I've lost track already because no one's really kind of living and dying whether National or American won that game, but I think it was National. Whichever team Helio Ramos was on.
In the World Series? No.
This time it counts.
Yeah, the... But yeah, they won it. Whichever team did win it, I mean,
Helio Ramos' team.
At this, you know, kind of thing, you're focused on the score, and that's also the case with minor league baseball often.
But especially here, because
this is
a random assemblage of players.
It's also it's not like an area organized by area where you're like you have some maybe Northeast pride. Like I'm from the Northeast, so it's like. You know, I don't really care who wins at the area code games, but when the Northeast boys, you know, stick up for themselves and beat the SoCal kids, I'm excited, you know?
That was one thing that was kind of funny. It was kind of a little bit of a surreal moment. We're in the clubhouse. Everyone was packed into the visitors' clubhouse. They didn't get to enjoy the renovated Cubs clubhouse at the Wrigley Field.
Not Jake Arrieta's tea machine.
You know, none of that. And so they're all in there. And then MLB Network's on the TV, and then they basically go back to announce, hey, the game, you know, just a reminder, the game's been called, and here's the final score, and let's look at some highlights. And that room went understandably silent, just from the standpoint of, this is not your big leaguers who see themselves on TV on a regular basis. Everyone there, you know, and so they announced that when they said, you know, I'm the National, so the National wins 5-4, and one of the players from Americans like, man, if we just had two more innings, we'd have got y'all, you know. And it's like, he was kidding because really no one again cared about the score. But more importantly than the score, who, you know, Hudson, the 3 days, but especially today, who stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversation's got to start with Helio Ramos.
I mean, he was the star of the game, and it's hard to be better than he was today.
I mean, the only way would have been if he would have come back for a fourth time and gotten the double and gotten the cycle.
Which, had not had the rain,
he
might have the chance.
Yeah, I mean, so what happens with Ramos? He doubled on a changeup down and away, or kind of
tripled.
He tripled on a
down the right field line.
He went with a changeup on the outer half from DL Hall into the right field corner. And then he singled up the middle, which I believe it was against Scherf, Alex Scherf, hard-throwing Texan. I believe it was a 94-mile-an-hour fastball that he, you know, he hit like a, wasn't necessarily a screamer, but it was ground ball up the middle and not an easy play to make for any of the infielders, and it's a hit. And then he pulls one.
That's the one, is that the one that I think it was Allen, like, fielded, but, like, there was no hope?
He didn't quite get to it, I don't think.
Okay.
It did get through, I believe. Yeah.
No, the one I'm thinking about was on Ben Jordan. That's what it was.
But yeah, I mean, and this is a guy.
And then he finishes up with the home run to left center.
Yeah.
So he went right field, left center field, triple, single, home run, RBI on two RBIs on the triple, RBI on the single, and then obviously RBI on the home run.
Yeah, I mean
he scored four runs, the team scored five. The team had six hits. He had three. Not a bad day.
Not much more you can do. And
did not make a play defensively.
This is kind of going to be, you know, looked at as like his coming out party. But really, you know, this is a guy we saw, you know, I mean, as an organization, we've seen for 2 years. You know, at the Perfect Game Junior National Showcase, you know, a year and a half ago. I guess it's about 15 months ago at this point. You know, this is a guy who stood out. And then, you know, a few months back at Perfect Game National, the same kind of deal, the bat standing out, and I wrote about him a little bit for the magazine, but this is a guy whose hit tool is going to carry him. But over the weekend in BP, you know, he was not getting his timing down. Ball had some jump off the bat.
Yes.
And that,
you know, he connected, but he connected less consistently than arguably anyone else here.
Yeah, I mean...
But BP doesn't count as much as games.
I mean, even when he was popping up, it was jumping off the bat. And then, so, like, and he's very strong and physical and wide-shouldered. And, you know, a little bit of an interesting backstory as JJ kind of did some reporting on that.
So, it is, you know, the younger brother of Henry Ramos, catcher for the Red Sox, who's at AAA right now. So... this stage, you know, it's not something that is overwhelming for him. I mean, his brother hasn't, you know, played at the big league level yet, but he's only one level below. His brother's gone through the draft process, you know, obviously both out of Puerto Rico. His brother has, you know, when asking about him tonight, he said, like, you know, he's made a point of, you know, seeing, like, getting to see where, you know, his brother's played. Brother, you know, bring him around for, you know, winter ball also in Puerto Rico, which is pretty intense as well. So
yeah.
So, you know, he's been around the game. He's got an older brother who kind of helps with that as well.
He knows what the pro lifestyle is going to be like. And what also, you know, I didn't talk to him much. He doesn't speak much English. He does speak a little bit, but, you know, he's not, I don't know if he's comfortable, you know, trying to conduct a conversation or you know, represent himself in English at this point. But, you know, there's some aptitude here. There's some bloodlines there. There's hit ability in game. When the pitches are thrown hard, he has responded. So it's a good pinnacle for his summer right now. It'll be interesting to see kind of how he follows up on this and when it's more than just a one game situation. But he's made himself a guy to follow for sure.
I also, obviously, you can say this from any event, I feel like, right now, but Hunter Green, more right now today, more on the mound than at the plate. And before the game, they had the home run derby. Hunter Green generally ends up being second in those things, it seems like, consistently. I think I've seen him on home run derbies on every, you know, East Coast, West Coast, middle of the country. You know, he does very well in those. But in the game, I think probably what we'll remember about Hunter Green was that first inning, that inning on the mound where he touched 98 on the stadium gun. 98 on the stadium gun,
97 on my gun.
Which 90,
and he might have been 98 on some on a on, scout's yeah, gun.
But
you know.
98 on the stadium gun means that he ties the record of Tyler Colek for the hardest pitch thrown on the Under Armour gun, I guess. The Under Armour track, whatever it is. But so that tied that. very quick inning for him. He didn't really...
Quick. I wanted to see him more.
Yeah. The good news is this is not the only time we've seen... Yeah. I will see Hunter Green.
But that keeps happening. Over the course of the summer, I think this is my fourth time this summer seeing Hunter Green pitch. And it's always a quick inning because he's got very good stuff and he knows how to use it and he can pound the bottom of the zone with 94 to 96 consistently. That said, I'm still not sure his future's on the mound.
Because he also is, he has legitimate power. He doesn't run particularly well for a shortstop, but he...
Yeah, he has graceful actions.
But he has very graceful actions, obviously has the arm for it.
Oh, pig arm, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the reality of it is that, now we've talked about this weekend, if Hunter Green didn't pitch at all, then yes, he would easily be in the top tier of high school position players. You know, because there's a long way till next June. There's a long way before the summer showcase season is over.
Yeah.
Even still.
Plenty of time to go.
So, but if you took the pitching away, he ranks right in that top group of position players, but you don't take the pitching away. He's also...
Yeah.
I think at this point, again, there's a long way to go, but if you had to say right now who's the best high school pitching prospect in this class, it's probably him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's almost clearly him.
I mean, I think that's, this point. Yeah.
Just pitcher only, high school pitcher only. I mean, I don't really think there's anybody who's super close.
Right, he has...
Alex Scherf would be, I think, in the discussion, but with Hunter Green's delivery, I think it's a little bit more functional, a little bit less going on there. And then we didn't see it from him today, but there's a pretty good changeup in there too.
He can
spin the ball, and there's so many things to like about him as a pitcher.
Didn't really have a whole lot of need for it in his seven pitches today.
No. I mean, he threw a couple sliders. I kind of had a tough angle on them, but, you know, like short sweepers, 78 and 80 were their velos.
So, other pitchers today, I mean, let's be honest, it was a rough day for some of the pitchers. Really, strike throwing was really the difficulty today.
Yeah.
We had a couple of guys who labored some because they really struggled to throw strikes. Shane Baz is one to me that...
Shane Baz had himself a good day.
What stood out with him was is that, and this is understandable, but most guys in this game today, they're pitching off their fastball, and then they occasionally mix in a second pitch.
Yeah.
He was one guy who went out there and showed very quickly he believed in his breaking ball. His breaking ball was a very integral part of what he was doing today.
Yeah, he's really interesting because he's also a two-way prospect. Mm-hmm. Hit probably one of the hardest balls at Tournament of Stars a couple weeks ago. But on the mound today, you're right, it was like this 82 to 84 late-breaking slider that got swings and misses. He threw a lot more sliders than fastballs, and that was also the case at Tournament of Stars. But at Tournament of Stars, he was throwing like this upper 80s slider, which was like it was more of a cutter. Mm-hmm. And so today it was more low 80s, but really interesting pitch. And, you know, I mean, it's just you don't see it a lot. You don't see a lot of guys doing that at this stage, pitching off of an off-speed pitch, especially when they have the kind of velocity that Shane Baz right. has. I mean, it's Baz. I keep saying Baz. But Baz... He's been up to 96. I've seen him up to 96. Wouldn't surprise me if somebody told me they saw him throw harder. Today, 92, 93, but in the zone and got the people out. So a good look at him. Good 1-2-3 inning there. Let's see. Who else do we like? Garrett Hunter-Ruth is mm-hmm. an interesting guy who's kind of...
And you say that Garrett Hunter Ruth because there have been times before where he was Garrett Ruth and.
Well, he's been Garrett Hunter Ruth. He's been Garrett Ruth. He's been Garrett Hunter Ruth, and today he was announced as Hunter Ruth.
Right.
It would be nice to clarify that with him at some point this summer. Sit down with him and talk to him. What is that? But Yeah, he was...
That was the last pitcher we saw.
A little bit of sink on his fastball, life on his fastball. He wasn't necessarily his best today, which you could say that of a lot of guys today.
Right.
But, you know, life on a fastball and natural ability to spin a baseball, burying his breaking ball. Didn't throw, I don't think, a single curveball in the strike zone, just everything in the dirt. But it was effective for him. And 92, 93... Ben Jordan, Alex Scherf, there's plenty of guys we could go into.
I mean, Ben Jordan didn't have... We've not seen the premium velocity. I've heard multiple people tell me that it does exist.
Yeah.
I mean, like 96, 97. Today he was 88, 92, but he was effective at 88, 92. He threw strikes. He's 6'9".
And he's got a good gravity breaking ball. It's got a little bit of natural spin to it. Not a plus spinner or anything like that, but you know it's got top to bottom with the way it breaks, and then it's also coming at that angle, so it should be an effective pitch for him. But impressive velocity given how his delivery worked, because his front side was coming down early, and it was at times it was an all arm fastball, and you were like, okay, well now you think in your head, you're watching this, I'm like, okay, well, this is not going to be very hard. His lower half's not getting into it. And you say, oh, 91.
Right.
You're like, huh.
I mean, that's the thing is that, and that's when you're talking about projecting him long term, you kind of believe that long term he's going to be synced up better.
Yeah.
And that's where that 97 comes from is that when he is reusing his lower half, he has present velocity. I mean, you don't really have to project on it.
Yeah.
It's just that it's, you know, and he was very candid about that. Like, he was hoping that you'd see that. I talked to him after the game, and he said, no, I'll take it. Because, yeah, he didn't throw the 97 that you kind of, if you're him, you hope that you're going to throw. But he did. He was effective. He threw strikes. And let's be honest, again, that was something that a lot of guys, I mean, there were a number of guys who their strike percentage was 50% and below.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he filled the zone up a little bit. I mean, wasn't command, but, you know, a little
control.
Bit of control.
Yeah. And then Scherf was, this was not Scherf at his best.
No.
But he's still pretty good.
Yeah, he's still pretty good. He showed you the big velo today. He's 93 to 96, tough 97. Breaking ball, he hit, I believe it was Nick Prado with it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Who then stole second.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
Nick Prado's a baseball player.
He's a better really athlete than his body player. Looks like it would be.
Too. Yeah, he's a well-coordinated athlete. He can use the opposite field as a hitter. He's got a little bit of surprising power. And, by the way, on the mound, he's a lefty up to 91 with a good changeup. Like, he's a nasty baseball player when you put it all together. But we're talking about Scherf. So Scherf didn't have his best off-speed today and didn't have his best command, but had the velo, and you know, he's got this, he's sculpted physically, and he's put in a lot of work. He's worked with pro guys like Roger Clemens, NBC World Series future hero,
yeah.
Roger Clemens. But yeah, this is
a
guy.
If we did put together an NBC top 10 prospects, you know, like, I mean, Clemens doesn't have a lot of projection left to him, but he probably still would, you know, crack that list.
Yeah, he'd probably get big leaguers out. One inning reliever, maybe.
But we did have a number of good defensive plays. Adam Hall went up second base. Mm-hmm. Nice play. Joe Gray, it was hard. I was trying to write it up for the game story and describing it. It's like the thing that was tough on the Joe Gray play is there's, to me, for a center fielder, there's nothing tougher than the ball hit right at you but hit over your head.
Yeah.
And so he tracked backwards really well on it. Like, because...
And then he had to get in the air.
And then he went up for it. And which is good for him. I talked to him after the game, and that was good for him because if he didn't have that, it would have been, did Joe Gray play in this game? Because him and Tristan Casas, it kind of worked out. The two guys who can come back to this game, Gray is a rising junior. He's a class of 18.
Yeah.
Casas is a rising sophomore. He's a class of 19. Neither of them got an at-bat because of, you know, they were going to, but because of the rain, they did not. But both of them, Cole Brannon in left field caught a ball where he, you know, wasn't as didn't have to sky as much, but he caught a ball back at the Ivy and kind of got the wind knocked out of him a little bit because he hit the bricks. And also he had a triple, too. So, I mean,
he had himself a good game.
You know, but as far as the hitters, again, this is limited looks. You know, the BP really gave us a chance to see in many ways, with the exception of Elio Ramos.
Yeah.
I mean, Cole Turney had a really good BP yesterday when they were at Northwestern.
He hit home runs.
Yes.
The trajectory off the bat is high. And
showed
he
power.
He got cagey at times. But there's, and I wrote about this in the workout recap, there's physicality and tools there that you can't walk away from.
And the swing, though,
maybe some things that need to be worked out, but we'll see how he adjusts going forward. And if it does turn out to be functional for him, then you don't need to change it.
Right.
But we'll see. It's like a back elbow dependent swing, which risky business there. Jordan Adell, though, Jordan Adell's adjustments have been impressive over the
because Jordan
past
Adell
months.
At Tournament of Stars was I don't want to say outmatched, but
if you didn't know who he was and you didn't watch the workouts before the game and you just saw him at the plate, you would not think this is a top guy.
He was one of the easier guys to. He was had real difficulty when pitchers at TOS and most pitchers at Tournament of Stars had a plan, and their plan was you will not see anything on the inner half. If I end up with a pitch on the inner half to you, it is only because of mistake. And they were going away, 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 away. And at that point, at the start of the summer showcase season, Jordan Adell did not have an answer to away, away, away.
Yeah.
But you talk to him about this.
You mean,
the great thing about it is he realizes it.
Look, with some of these guys, you come into the summer, you're like, I know I need to bear down on this guy consistently because I know about him already. And so this is, Adell, I've watched him a lot over the past couple of years, but him watching him in the beginning of the summer, very open with that, with his left foot, very open stance and a step in and not really getting in enough and still kind of lunging at that ball.
It was pretty much, if you gave him a fastball on the inner half, preferably low, that put him in a spot where there was a chance that he could do something with it because he was going to pull it.
Yeah, I mean
that was it at the start of the summer.
But you know, I talked to him a little bit about it after the game, and it was an adjustment that I noticed, and I wanted to make sure to ask him about. And what's really cool about this event is like the players are just very free and accessible, and you can ask them questions here and there, and they're all tremendous kids. So far. Everyone I dealt with was a tremendous.
There was no one that I interacted with at this where I'm like, oh, good luck with that.
Yeah. So Jordan Adell's made some adjustments. And even last week at the Met Ball Classic, the contact skills were better there too. Mm-hmm. His load isn't as deep with his hands.
Which is fine for him because the power's there as long as he just makes contact.
He's got at least plus raw power with his swing right now.
Right.
So
he doesn't need a big load.
And he hit two very hard pitch balls today. I mean, like he
that
got
a single.
Yeah. I mean, well, he got a 92 down and in, and he punched it to left field for a single.
Mm-hmm.
Came off the bat really well, and then he got 95 from Scherf, and he lined it at the third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean,
that's a step.
These are what you want to see. Did make a really nice play in center field early in the game,
which is also impressive because again, that was something at Tournament of Stars. His routes were not very good. He was predominantly playing corners out there, and a lot of times, playing a corner is tougher than playing center field.
I haven't asked him about this, but I imagine he's not being thrown in a corner a lot in high school.
And that's reading the ball off the bat in the corner is entirely different than reading the ball off the bat in center field.
The ball's hook in the corners. They just do. And they don't do that when they're hit up the middle. So it's an adjustment to be made. But this is a guy who's got very, very good raw tools and some aptitude.
Legitimately some of the better raw tools in this class, without a doubt. I mean,
he can run, he can throw. I mean,
right.
He's got at least plus raw. It's an interesting package. Jordan Adell was really good. Is there any other hitter you wanted to kind of go over here?
I'm trying to think. It really, I mean, again, there was not, it was seven innings, and there weren't a lot of guys. I mean, Ramos was the guy who had the game. I didn't BP today. I was so busy taking video that I can't really tell you what anyone did.
Yeah.
I mean, the home run derby, it was.
I mean, one guy I want to talk about from BP is Alex Terrell. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who has big raw power when he's trying to get to it. And as we saw with some of his shots, he's a first baseman, maybe outfielder, played first base in the game. But just this guy's swing is really compact, and it's downhill a little bit, but it's not an exaggerated, swoopy, bat path, and it's geared for contact. And we've seen him a lot, I mean, over the past couple of years. He was in this game last year, as was Jordan Adell.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something there, you know, he didn't... You know,
no, there was nothing that day like
nothing,
Revo.
Nothing in the game where he's going to shine in the box score. But there's something here offensively with how strong he is physically and how much bat speed he has and the fluidity of the swing and the functionality of the swing. This is a guy I want to really bear down on over the next couple weeks.
But while we said we were going to try to go 15, we've gone 25 because that's what we do. But we do thank you for listening to this Baseball America podcast. Obviously, we'll have a lot more draft coverage coming up. I mean, that's the point of emphasis of this is that what is one of the things that is important that scouts are looking for at these events is they build a history with guys. And now, again, there are occasionally guys who there's not much that they have to really improve on during the summer because they're the best guy at the start of the summer. But there's a lot of guys who you want to see, okay, are you recognizing your problem? Now, one thing that's tough with that is it is hard for these guys during the summer to really be doing a lot of the maintenance type stuff, a lot of the tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive, again, with Jordan Adell in that
quick adjustments,
because this isn't something where you go to one of these events and then you go home for a month and you work on stuff. I mean, you're just talking to guys here. It's like
Jordan Adell has not spent any nights in Louisville.
Right. And so
back home in Louisville. No.
Getting in your lifts, getting in your side work, you know, if you're a pitcher, your bullpen sessions, those aren't necessarily easy because let's just think about it. If you're not at home, it's not that easy to go, okay, so where am I going to go find a mound and go find, you know, and go add a catcher around to go?
Yeah, I mean you're throwing you're at these events. You're pitching in your games, and then you're watching your teammates pitch. And mm-hmm. you don't have a pitching coach that's working with you, and then somebody else is working with the guy on the mound. No, it's you're in the game, and that's kind of your... You're getting your feedback from your pitching coach after that, you know.
Right.
So you don't have time to say, all right, let's just go in between starts, see what we can work on.
That's why that's one of the things is that they're the age that these guys are at. 6 months can mean a world of difference, but that is why guys really rise up during the spring mm-hmm. or fall, because the reality of it is that is the point. The off season really is, whether it starts in September for guys, you know, especially pitchers, a lot of times hopefully starts in September where they have some downtime. But September or October, the reality...
It'll be interesting this year because the Team USA goes a little bit later
mm-hmm.
Into October. And so I think you'll see a lot of those guys will continue to pitch.
They'll just stay
through Jupiter.
And then shut it down.
So you're going to see a lot of guys still going at Jupiter probably, because normally Team USA is wrapped up in mm-hmm. late August, early September.
Yeah, that's
and
the
those guys down. Are we're done. We've done everything. We've shown everything we needed to show. We're good. Come see us in the spring. But yeah.
But whatever time it is, that's when. I mean, you want to see. Okay, some guys are going to end up then being their body's going to be somewhat different. I mean, we saw that. You know, this past year in the draft. I mean, there were
Kyle Muller and Joey Wentz, the two Braves picks,
right.
Totally reinvented themselves in the winter time.
Right. And then you get to spring, and all of a sudden, they're better than they were when the summer showcase season, summer that stretches into fall showcase season ends.
Yeah.
They were better. And so that means then that, but we're going to, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, we're not, we are literally.
Kyle Muller was in this game last year and mm-hmm. was in the upper 80s. And, you know, his breaking ball had shape. And then in the spring, he was low to mid 90s and his breaking ball had more power to it. So, you know, at this stage, we're very much just identifying the candidates.
And knowing what they do now.
Know what they do now. Know who's got the tools already and who has a chance to develop them.
And the reality is that there are some things that you can tell right now. Like, a guy who doesn't run right now is not going to run. You know, you may get a little better, but you're not going to. A pitcher who has an extremely violent delivery now is not going to be free and easy next spring.
Yeah, guys will clean it up, but yeah, for the most part, like, I mean, pitcher deliveries are hard to change. Mm-hmm. They really are. Arm actions are hard to change.
But, so. Well, we said we were going to wrap up, and we have not. So, but for Hudson Belinsky, hey, we kept it at 30 minutes.
Nice.
For Hudson Belinsky, this is J.J. Cooper. Thank you for listening to the Baseball America podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.